Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Three HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Oh, man. You hear the song Hollywood Nights. That only means one thing. The man Chris Lowe calls Hollywood, Jason Swain, joins us all the way from Knox, Vegas. Hey, is it dark in Knoxville right now? Because I'm telling you, it's getting darker earlier and earlier here.
Not yet. Not yet. We're there. We're almost there, but not yet.
And Chris not Lowe, quite the Hollywood
he's a master of deflection.
I'm surprised Chris hasn't bought like three billboards in Knoxville
right.
and put a picture of you up with Hollywood Swain.
Hollywood.
He's the king of deflection. He's the one who's on ESPN, on TV. He's the one featured on the SEC documentary talking about some of the great things that's happened in college football history. He's the one on TV, not me.
You know, Swain, speaking of deflection, your man Maurer deflected a whole lot of Vol Nation anger and angst and sadness. I mean, he gave the team a spark Saturday night. That's what Vol Nation's been looking for. He was there to provide it.
Well, I mean, I think hope is the word that you think of when you think about Brian Maurer and kind of what he was able to do in the first half. You know, at the end of the day, Tennessee got spanked. I am not going to buy into more victories one bit at all. But you look at the future, you look at what this offense can do. Obviously, it's more Brian Maurer at quarterback. You look at the future, as Tennessee is trying to replace some senior wide receivers, you know, you can see why a high school wide receiver would, you know, be interested in maybe taking a look at Brian Maurer because, you know, he looks like he has the moxie, he has the arm talent. And I think he's going to be a player for Tennessee in the near future. So, when you look at this football game against Mississippi State, you know, you can see that Tennessee definitely can win this game. They got to play mistake free. A lot of the time they got to play a clean football game and they were able to handle and hang with Georgia in the first half because they did play a clean football game. The moment you start getting 15 yard penalties and missing field goals, things like that, things went downhill. Now the margin of error is not the same as it was against Georgia because Mississippi State's not nowhere close to Georgia, but you saw where Tennessee could play well enough to win if they just don't beat themselves.
Well, sitting in the building too. The thing that was impressive about Maurer was first start, and that guy was moving around the pocket pretty well. Like he had a pretty good presence about him. You would know far better than me, having played wide receiver at that level, but. I was impressed with that and his ability to, and we've talked about this about Garantano and certainly in this market about Mariota, just let it rip. And that dude just let it rip, man.
He did. He was not fazed by the moment. He was not fazed by the opponent. He was not fazed by anything. He went out there, played football. You know, at the end of the day, this is a game. I mean, it's a game. A game is meant to be fun. And when you prepare all week long, when you prepare all offseason, you know, you just go out there and play. You don't worry about being too nervous. You don't worry about messing up. You just go out there and let it rip. And that's what Brian Maurer did.
What's a reasonable expectation for him the rest of the way? Obviously, he had less luck in the second half of this game. He's going to do what he does, and there's some of him on film now that people can really study. What do you expect to see him from the rest of the way?
I expect Bob Stoops, who's one of the best defense coordinators in the country, to make adjustments. And I expect him to try to take away the easy throw across the middle to Juwan Jennings and force some throws on the outside and force Brian Maurer to make second and third reads. And if you're Jim Chaney, you continue to try to get the ball out of his hand and get the ball to playmakers as soon as possible. Tennessee will need to run the football to be successful. You know, Mississippi State has allowed everyone to run the football. Tennessee has improved in the area with the offensive line play. We've been able to run the ball more than just going left, but we've been able to have some success running the football. So I expect to get the game to be more out of Maurer's hands throwing the football like it was against Georgia, and more in the hands of the offensive line and running game. And then when those safeties walk up, Brian Maurer certainly has shown that he has the ability to throw the ball over the top and be accurate with some of those throws too. So I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, wait, we got, you know, Brian Maurer's going to do the same exact thing he did against Georgia the rest of the way, which is throw 200-something yards in the first half. I just don't expect that to happen. There's other really good defensive coordinators in the league, and they'll adjust, and they'll break, they'll make Brian Maurer do something different. That's why you paid Tim Chaney $1.5, $1.6 million to figure it out.
Yeah, they had 205 yards passing, Maurer did at halftime. Unable to run the ball, though, so that's got to be something that they need to get done against Mississippi State. And yeah, it's a winnable game. Tennessee's still a 7-point underdog in this thing at home, but a very important game moving forward, because we all know what waits for them next week, and that's an ass whooping.
Pretty much. Yep. This is must win. This is must win because next week is not going to be pretty at all.
Swain, if you don't win this one, then you're looking at 1-6.
You're looking at 1-6. You don't win this. You're going. It's not looking. You can look all you want to. You're going to be 1-6 if you don't win this game. And so it's important. It's very, very important. You don't win this game 1-6, then you're playing against a South Carolina team that, listen, Will Muschamp hasn't lost to Tennessee since he's been in the SEC, whether it's at Florida or South Carolina. He has not lost to Tennessee, and South Carolina is hungry and starving for a win too. They have the toughest schedule in the country. You just don't want to put yourself in that position by beating yourself. And Mississippi State, listen, they're not a bad team. They're a good football team. But Tennessee has been a few plays here and there. They were in the first half of the Florida game. They were a few plays here and there offensively from either being tied or having the lead at halftime. Georgia, they showed what they could do versus one of the best defenses in the country. They got to score points because Tennessee's defense, whoo, God, man, Tennessee defense, they hard to watch sometimes. No pass rush, which makes it life easy for opposing quarterback. We're still trying to line up the snap of the football. The offense has to take it upon themselves to put up as much points as possible, because you just don't know, you know, how much the defense will be able to hold.
And it's interesting, Jason Swain, our guest, J.J. Peterson, who I remember being hailed as such a great recruit, still can't get on the field.
Yeah, I mean, he should be able to get on the field now. Three linebackers who was on this team 2 weeks ago, they're not there anymore. So, and you should be able to get on the football field and contribute in more ways than just special teams. You know, it's kind of time to potty or get off the pot. That's the radio version of what I want to say. Potty or get over the pot. It's like I'm talking to my 3-year-old.
I know, you sound like a dad.
Yeah.
It's time to do that. So if you're J.J. Peterson, let's go. Let's get it.
I think you should walk over there and tell him that.
Hey, JJ, listen to me. Over here, either potty or get off the pot.
You've said that to somebody before, haven't you?
Yeah, my kids, man. I was potty training them.
How about Brandon Johnson getting off the pot for this year? He's going to redshirt. Would you have redshirted as a senior?
Heck yeah. Why would you sit behind Callaway and Jennings and Palmer right now? I mean, when you can just... You can redshirt, come back, and be more of the man. I mean, you look at next year's wide receiver group, it includes Brandon Johnson, it includes D'Angelo Gibbs, and you have Josh Palmer coming back. That's a pretty good start. And then you filter in Ramel Keith and some of the other guys, Sadie Tillman, and then hopefully you get some big-time players at wide receiver coming in, and then you sprinkle those freshmen in there with this group. So I like the decision for Brandon Johnson to redshirt. Brett Smith, if he was playing today, because he tried to do it in 2006, his freshman year in 2003, he has a huge game against Florida down there in the swamp to help us, you know, with that win. But after that, he really didn't play all that much that season. And so Tennessee tried to get an extra year for Brett Smith after the 2006 season, but they didn't get it. Today, he gets it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that was a great wide receiver class that came in with you.
Yes, it was pretty good, I might say. Pretty good class.
Yep. Well, appreciate you, Swain, man.
Yes, sir. At Swain Event on Twitter. And we'll talk to you next week.
Well, thank y'all. Titans fans, Braves fans, Tennessee fans, Falcons fans, Blue Sixers, all get one big huddle and just hug it out. So we just here for each other, all right?
Swain's always there for a hug. Yes, sir, Hollywood.
Let's do it.
Of imagery.
See you, man.
Jason Swain, former Tennessee wide receiver.